This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7, with supplies and solutions for every industry, and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're not a footballer, you can I don't know, you think about maybe a year or two to change countries, whatever, but football you have one day.
Penalty! That is a massive decision! I'm with Gianfranco Zola. I feel that Knockout is looking for this penalty. Penalty, 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 penalty. Knockout takes, Almunia saves, Knockout follows in, Almunia saves again!
You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. Our special guest today is Alman Abdi. Good morning, Alman.
Good morning, everyone. Hi.
How are you,
Alman? You well?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Very well.
Good stuff. Yeah, well, you're going to have to excuse my voice today. There was a bit of shouting that occurred over the weekend.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so, but look, on that, just very quickly, we've got to mention it. We're back in the Premier League. Have you been keeping an eye on Watford in the Championship?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's sometimes tough to watch the games, but I definitely follow every result, every game. And I'm really thrilled that Watford is in the Premier League again after 1 year. So I'm really happy for the players, and especially for the fans. I think they deserve it to be back up there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, so thank you for that. But you're going to have to just excuse my voice. I'll try my best, and hopefully it hangs on.
I think it's all right. I think
it's right. It's quite husky. Justin quite likes it.
I think it's, yeah, it makes it sound sexy, mate.
Right. So, Alma, just talk us through. I mean, obviously, like, you know, we know where you came from. You were part of sort of the Udinese influx of players at a time, a strange time for Watford, I guess, when we look back at it now, where we kind of just had all these players turning up. And I remember being at Crystal Palace, all these names on the sheet, you know, Matty Vidra, yourself. It was just like, wow, is this going to work? Is it just from your point of view, how did it all happen? How did it sort of come about?
Well, it went pretty quick. I remember that in that summer, I think the Potter family bought a club and introduced Gianfranco Zola as a head coach. So I think, well, I was one of the first ones with Vidra and Pudil to join Watford. Of course, you think like, is it gonna work? I mean, it's a different league, different mentality, different style of football, but it actually worked pretty well from the beginning. And I enjoyed my time there so much. And I remember the first season was so great. And unfortunately, we couldn't make it in the end. But anyway, it was such a good season.
Yeah, it was. It was a tremendous season. We started so well in in that season. And you were a player that I think at the time you were kind of like a Rolls Royce. You just sort of used to glide around the pitch, just, and it was like we've never had players like this at Watford. And for us fans, it was like, why is this guy here?
Thank you.
It was like, why is he here? He could be playing in the Premier League quite comfortably. You know, what was Gianfranco Zola like to work with? What was his sort of qualities as a manager?
Oh, he was great. I had a really good relationship with him, especially. First, he's a great guy. I mean, a great. He's a legend at Chelsea, and obviously, it was an honor for every player to work with him. And also, you know, he was always up for a laugh, but also he knew when to be very serious. And you know, when we didn't have good games, so he could also shout as well. So I think he had a very good mix of like being a nice guy, being like kind of like a friend, but then being also like a respected person, respected manager. So everyone really enjoyed the time there with Gianfranco Zola.
Could he still play? Could he get involved in training?
Well, he did play sometimes, and funny enough, he was always the best in training then.
Funny that, yeah.
Yeah, funny that. Yeah, he has done it and seen it, I guess. Is there any kind of when you look back at that first season? I know, like you just said, we didn't really make it at the end, and I know there's a particular game that we'll come on to. But is there really like a recipe that you look back in that team or certain players that kind of made it all click together, or is it just that? You know, kind of a mindset that you all had?
I think of everything a little bit. First of all, I think we had a good mix of like young and older players, experienced players, but also very like many young players, also many good English young players. I remember Nathaniel Chalobah was like, what, 17, 18? I don't remember how old he was, but when he came, he was really young. So like I said, we had some good experienced guys from abroad as well, from Italy, which had like already, you know, played Champions League. I'm talking about Cassetti or whatever.
Oh, he was brilliant to watch.
I think we had a really good mix of players. And also, like, I don't know, no one really expected something from us in the first season. So because it was like everything new, and everyone thought like, oh, this team will need at least 2-3 years to grow together. But like I said, with this freedom to play, we did a great season. And I remember, I think, I enjoyed it so much. And maybe in the end, it was good that we didn't go up. Maybe would have been 1-2 years too early.
We haven't actually spoken to anybody involved in that game. We've spoken to the commentator of that game, but nobody there was actually playing. What was it like to play in that match?
You mean Leicester.
Leicester, yeah.
The Leicester said about Palace.
We're not going to talk about Palace. Let's talk about Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's the craziest moment in my career, definitely. That's football and these emotions. I remember these emotions from the fans and like, it's just brilliant. Going for a penalty in like, what, 20, 30 seconds, scoring the winning goal. And obviously, it's crazy. And there was such a relief, such a great feeling to be able to have made it and to be able to play the playoff final at Wembley.
I mean, it was a thing to watch from the stands, I can tell you. I can only imagine what it was like on the pitch. It was madness, absolutely madness.
Yeah, it was madness, yeah.
Knockhart is still very much welcomed at Vicarage Road whenever he comes back. We always give him our best, bless him. But just, I guess we have got a touch on it. I guess just going on of it to the final, wasn't our day, you know. I remember it being so hot that day as well. But we just, I don't know if it was kind of Palace were that little bit better than us on the day, or we were a little bit overwhelmed. We'd kind of like had our final in that previous game, if that makes sense. Can you kind of put your finger on what happened that day, or was it just that it wasn't our day?
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't our day. I remember we didn't create much. We had difficulties to do our games, to play our games. I think Palace did very well. But in the end, it was 0-0 until the 114th or whatever. We didn't play well. So, I mean, on a slightly better day, we could have made it. But this is how it is. Like, first you have this game and this experience against Leicester, and then 2 weeks later you lose a final. I remember when I came in and saw one half in yellow, one half in dark blue red. It was so wow. Like, I literally, it was crazy. It was such a, you know, I've never experienced this before, like playing at Wembley,
yeah,
in front of 80,000. It was, and we felt so bad to have like disappointed everyone who supported Watford.
Yeah, no, look, I think you just touched on it. I think honestly and truthfully, in the long run, it was the right thing to happen. I don't think, yeah, we would have, you know, I personally, if we'd gone up that season, would we have stayed up? Who knows?
Exactly.
You can, yeah, never say. But I think that the following season, we were so galvanised into, you know, what we wanted to do and what we wanted to achieve. Just moving it on slightly, Mr. Jukanović came in, a kind of unknown, I guess, which Watford tend to do at the moment. You know, Gianfranco Zola, I guess, was kind of the last sort of big name,
yeah,
if you will. What was his kind of, what were the players thinking when this guy comes in from, you know, nobody really knows anything about him? Is it obviously you're all professionals, you have to get on board, but is there a sort of thing around the club where you kind of go, you know, what's this guy going to bring? We just had Gianfranco Zola. What's yeah, he going to do?
It was such a strange season, I remember, because in the beginning it was Giuseppe Sannino,
yeah,
which yeah, he was an Italian, passionate, you know, proper Italian manager, and yeah, we were doing quite well with him. I think we were like leader in the championship, and then he left. That was a big surprise. And then I remember Oscar Garcia came, but then because of his health, he couldn't continue. It was such a strange season,
wasn't it? Yeah.
And then Billy, what was his name?
Billy McKinley.
Yeah, Billy McKinley came in for like, what, 2 weeks, and then yeah, suddenly I remember it was after international break, we came back to training, and then suddenly again a new manager. I was like, what's happening here? Like,
yeah, that's crazy,
because you know, players, you know, you don't get involved in those things. And then I remember he came in first day, and but it's from the beginning, it worked really well, because I really liked the style of play of Mr. Jukanović. And we had a tough first couple of games, I think, until like November, December. But from then on, we didn't lose many more games.
No, I mean, but the one game for me was away at Fulham. It was Friday night. I was there, and we absolutely destroyed them. You were different class that night. Scored a worldie, actually, as I recall.
Yeah.
Curled one into the top corner. But I guess, like, just sort of drawing back onto that slightly, that must be so unsettling for players. And I know players, and all the players that we've spoken to, they don't get involved with what goes on upstairs, but you must be scratching your heads in the change room, because players obviously talk to each other, you know, they're friends outside of football, yeah, as well. You must be saying, like, what are we doing, you know, what,
yeah,
this is absolute craziness, you know, especially as you say, you've gone on international break to play for Switzerland, you come back and you've got a different guy in the office. It's like, okay, yeah. You know, I think that's more incredible to think that what we actually went on to achieve. In a strange way, at the time, I remember thinking, this is bonkers. And I said it at the beginning of this season. Currently, I said, this is bonkers. What for the changing managers? Like, I change shoes. It's just unbelievable. But then we find ourselves in a very similar situation. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, from the outside looking in, the Pozzo's formula must look bizarre to football fans from another club. But I just wanted you to explain what it's like to be in that. Is it what works about it? What is it as a player that makes everyone settled and just get on with their jobs?
Well, I think football, the last few years, this is how it works right now. I mean, obviously I understand this is a lot of business as well. Like, we don't know what's happening up there. Like, I don't know, people have different opinions and so on. So it doesn't mean that if you're doing well, maybe some other things are not good for Mr. Pozzo. And also the last few years, still Watford has replaced some managers even this season, and again, and you got promoted. So yeah,
that's true. Yeah, but I just think for us, you often wonder how unsettling that is for players, just to have this sort of revolving doors of managers all the time. And you sort of think, well, it just must be quite unsettling. It's very odd to watch from the outside. It really is.
It is. And also, like, obviously every manager, especially for those players, for example, if they don't play that often or whatever, every time a new manager comes in, it's like a new chance for you. It's like, it starts from zero.
That's true.
This is good, and everyone thinks everyone has a different philosophy. So in one hand it can be really good, in the other hand, like, yeah, it's unsettling. And you sometimes wish, like, come on, can he stay for longer than 1 year? But this is how it works right now. You rarely see now managers staying for many years, but that's how it is.
sadly. When you were at Watford, you were nicknamed the Professor. Where do you think that name came from?
Well, it's actually hard to explain. I don't know. Like, if Mr. Zola suddenly called me that way, I have no idea why. He said, like, I'm the guy in midfield who, like, you know, thinks like a professor, who, you know, like, I don't know. So and suddenly everyone was calling me Professor or Prof in the team as well.
So it was more like, it was Zola.
It was like a joke. But,
So it was Franco that gave you that name then. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I still need to talk to him about that, but yeah, maybe in the future.
In that season that we got promoted to the Premier League, is there a game that stands out for you as a performance, or maybe, you know, something that just stands out that you remember from that season?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it before, the Fulham away game. I remember we had four losses in a row before that game, and we were under tremendous pressure. I remember we were like, oh my god, if we don't win this game now on Friday, we it's gonna be tough, because we were like, I don't know, seventh, eighth, whatever, I don't remember. But I think this game started our season. From then on, like, we kind of, like, we built up this confidence, this, like, oh, it's really tough to beat Watford, you know. And also I think the philosophy of Mr. Kanovic, like I said, I think this is the game of the season, because in the end there's always one game. If you win it, you know, like, it's very important for later, for the future. And if you lose it the other way, so definitely this game. Obviously we had other good games towards the end of the season where we had tough games, but we won them. So
I also remember a game, I think it was away at Bolton, which was a particularly tough game, and we came back for, I think Troy scored a couple of goals that day. But yeah, you're right in what you say. There's a few games that when you look back at it, you think, oh, if that had gone the other way, that result, yeah, that whole run could have not
exactly
even started. Exactly. Yeah. So no. It's a fair point.
So just to go to continue on with that theme for a second, Alman. So momentum is really important, you think, when it comes to achievements. It's all about momentum, because you were saying perhaps if we lost that Fulham game, that could have been a really catastrophic thing. Is momentum really important?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know how football is. Sometimes you can have a really good day, play really well, but the luck is not on your side, and then you can have other games as well where you don't deserve to win. Mm. Especially, like I said, we lost four games in a row, and I remember we're like, what should we do? Like, the managers tried everything, and then from then on, we really showed what we're capable of.
Yeah.
Because we had a great team, like great individual players, but we just couldn't show it on the pitch.
Yeah.
Until then, and then, like I said, who knows what would have happened if we didn't thrash them, but
it was a thrashing, definitely. Yeah, it was a thrashing. Yeah,
I'm going to take you to a special day now, Alman, if I may. We just beaten Brighton away, just to confirm. So we're away at Brighton. The fans are in party moods, but we don't know if we're promoted. Now, me on this particular day, I was in the car on the way back to Watford after seeing this. You were on a coach when you found out. Just take me inside that coach, just to put in perspective what it was like with the boys when you found out.
Honestly speaking, I wasn't in a coach. I was in a car with Ekstrom, because, like, I think we were off the next 2 days or whatever, and we could drive home with our own car. So I wasn't,
got you,
unfortunately, in this coach, because I would have liked to be. No, but I've seen videos after, and obviously I found out also on the way home to Watford, and everyone was like so happy, and it was just an amazing feeling to be able to, you know, finally go up. We fully deserve it, and then the only thing we were thinking of is, like, just go home, get changed, and go to party. So
yes. Fantastic. Yes, I do remember seeing you from a distance. There were so many thousands of people in the town centre. It was absolute chaos, and you guys were in the an Italian restaurant, I think, as I remember it anyway, celebrating, and Troy was front and centre of those celebrations with the champagne. Did you ever hear about Watford before, you know, when you were a younger player or playing in Udinese? Did you ever know what Watford was, or even where Watford was?
Well, yeah, I mean, not when I was little. But honestly speaking, before I knew, okay, it could be a possibility to go to Watford, I didn't know much about Watford, especially about Championship, because obviously, you know, when you're abroad, when you're wherever you are, you mostly watch the Premier League and not the Championship. And yeah, I remember I was in Udine and when they bought the club, Gianfranco Zola was there, but I had one day to decide if I should go or not. So imagine that, changing country, and I had one day time. So but for me,
that's
it felt right. It felt right from the first moment. I spoke to Gianfranco on the phone, and there was not much to think about. I just wanted to go, and just as an experience, even though I went from the Serie A to the Championship. So for me, it was never a question. I wanted to go, and it was definitely the right decision.
So when you've got one day 100%. To make a decision like that, literally one day, I mean, is it just a case of, right, pack up and go, or is what happens?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine you're there in Italy, living there, playing there, and suddenly you speak.
You've got to tell your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, you know, you're moving to England.
That's the thing, you know, you have a wife, and then she needs to agree as well. But it's weird, because that's how it goes. If you're not a footballer, you can I don't know, you think about maybe a year or two to change countries, whatever. But football, you have one day. So it's just like a decision, you know, from your from your heart, maybe. I don't know, like you just think, is it the choice? And then you have to decide. And for me, I didn't want to stay there anymore. But and I've heard from many that's like English football, it's great. And especially when Zola spoke to me, he really convinced me to go there. And it's close to London. And
well, I was going to say, what was the biggest difference between Serie A and the Championship?
Well, the biggest difference, everything was different. So Serie A is just, it's a different style of football, loads of tactics. I remember being in training in Italy, it's just like 50% of training is just tactics. It's much less intensity, but tactic-wise, they're really good. And it's really hard to score there. It's a tough league to play. But on the other hand, in England, especially Championship, is very physical. And but it really depends on which team you play, obviously. Like we had a really good style of play. But then, obviously, on a rainy Tuesday night in wherever, I'm just saying something, Barnsley or wherever, it's 0 degrees. It's not easy. So
and some of the pitches are like, you know, they're not exactly flat, and it can be a bit to try and play pretty football, like you just said, on a Tuesday night in Barnsley when the wind's coming in at 100 miles an hour from
exactly.
Yeah. So no, I get that. I completely get that. I guess now. I kind of take you to the Premier League, and then now for the Premier League, obviously there's again change from the Championship. You know, people talk about there being a gap between the Championship and the Premier League. What was your kind of feeling about your time in the Premier League? Because if I'm right in saying, were you played? I seem to recall, correct me if I'm wrong, that you were out of position quite a lot of times. You weren't always in your natural position.
The whole season actually. But the thing was that Kike Sanchez Flores, we used to play like a 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1, and obviously we had Capu and Ducouré in the middle. So most of the time I played either on the right side or the left side. Even though I wasn't a wing, I was like more like inside and stuff. But it's still not my position. But obviously, I just wanted to play. I did everything to help the team, even though it wasn't my position. But it was, above all, it was a great, great season for us. Great experience to play in the Premier League, which is so different than the Championship in terms of like, when you've got the ball, you have more time in the Premier League than in the Championship. But if they've got the ball, it's really tough because they have so much more quality than Championship teams. So it's very different.
No, definitely. Is there a player that you remember playing against that you thought, wow, this is now, we're in the real big time now?
Yeah, I remember a few, but one of them was for sure David Silva or Özil, Sanchez, even though I played with Sanchez in Udine, but
Udinese,
but he was different class there, and all Özil as well. And sometimes you play against them and you think like, wow, do they ever make mistakes? Like, are they humans? But anyway, we did really well for the first season, I think, and we were quite comfortable in on the table. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, there were some big wins. You know, beating Liverpool at home. I remember a goal you scored at Stoke City, where you kind of ran, and that was a strange goal, because from where we were behind the goal, and it was almost like you kind of flicked it with your foot, but the power you got on it was incredible. It was like, wow. Yeah. But yeah, that was a special day. I want to talk very quickly about injuries, because I think me and you have suffered with the same injury, which is why I couldn't play football, which was a problem with the sole of your foot.
Yeah.
Plantus, I can't remember the
term.
That's it. Yeah. So I suffered with the same thing. So it's basically a very painful. You were out for quite a long time with that, weren't you? It was 7 months, 6 months, maybe?
Yeah, if I don't remember exactly, because it was one of those injuries that, like, you're out for maybe 3 weeks, then you come back to training, try it out again. It was like maybe like 15 times, and it was mentally just draining, because, like, it's not like if you break a bone, or if you do a cruciate ligament or whatever, or a meniscus, then you know you're going to be out for that long, and then you're going to come back stronger. But this was like such a pain. I mean, yeah, you know it.
Yeah,
it's painful. Every morning when I woke up, it was like I couldn't step on my foot for a while, and it was a really difficult time for me personally, because I tried everything. I went to doctors in Switzerland, Italy, Spain, England. Like, I tried everything. Finally got better in the end after 7-8 months. But yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah, very, very bad.
Do not scratch your eyes!
Just very quickly, I mean, obviously, you know, we get to the end of when you kind of leave Watford. And I'll be honest, that people I still talk to now, and there's people that, when we told them that we're getting Ayman Abdi, we're going to get the chance to speak to Ayman Abdi, they're like, my God, can he come back and play? Because you were such a gifted footballer at the club, and you don't realise how important to the fans you were as well. Because I'm not sure if you know the stat, but before a free kick that we scored this season, you scored our last
against
Villa, I think. Yeah, that's it. Our last direct free kick. So we've been waiting basically 5 years.
It's a long time.
So, you know, you were incredible for us. But
thank you.
I just want to touch on Sheffield Wednesday, leaving Watford. How did the move to Wednesday come about, and you leaving Watford? How did that all happen?
Well, again, we're talking about football is business, and I remember it was my last year of my contract, end of that season, of the first Premier League season, and obviously I didn't want to leave, because I loved being there. I loved everything about Watford, and also I felt the appreciation of the people there, of the fans, and which was very important for me as well. But then we started pre-season. I think Mr. Mazzari came in as a new manager, and it was weird, because the thing is, then again, in pre-season I played like a right wing back or something like that, because he played 3-5-2. I had a chat with him. I was like, that's not my position at all, like I need to be around the box, he said, yeah, it's we have other players that they push, they want to play. So for me it was like, in the end, you know how it is, you have 1 year left, they want to sell you. So I had this offer from Sheffield Wednesday. Pudil was already there, First Year was there, so they only spoke good about Sheffield Wednesday. So in the end, this is how it happened, even though I didn't want to, but then I got a new contract there. In the end, that's life, you know. If you knew before, you wouldn't have done it, but I didn't know it before, so I went there, and it was the wrong decision, but that's life.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, and you've got, I suppose, at the time, you've got to make a decision what's right for you, for you, your career, your family, and so forth, haven't you? So, you know, you can't look back at it from regret. I mean, one thing I kind of look at when I think about Ayman Abdi is you retired quite early. Was that due to injuries, or was that just your, you know, you just kind of fell out of love with the game?
Yeah, more this, I mean, as you can imagine, I had 3 years in Sheffield, and they were not great at all. I had maybe six good months, and then I had my injury, my knee, and also the relationship with Carlos Carvajal wasn't the greatest. I don't know, I didn't feel good there, didn't feel even though the fans were great, Sheffield Wednesday fans are a massive club. The fans were always nice to me. They always thought like, but in the end you lose confidence, you lose passion, you lose the love. If you don't play and you think, I think I could help the team, but I never played. In the end, it's also my decision as well. It's my fault as well, because I didn't perform how I was supposed to. And this is how it happens. Then my first injury, I was out for a couple of months, and then I had difficulties to come back, and then we changed manager, and then I completely lost it. And then I decided with my girlfriend that I just want to quit. Maybe it was a quick decision, but it was in my mind for a while, so that's why I decided.
No, that's, you know, all credit to you. I think that must be hard, you know, knowing what you're capable of and not being able to get there. That must be very frustrating and something, you know, I completely understand. But following you on Instagram, there was a period, obviously, before COVID, you were everywhere. You were traveling the world. You were like in every country I can think of. Yourself and your wife, isn't it?
It's my girlfriend. We're not married.
You were all over the place. So what was it? Just a case of, I tell you what, let's just go and see the world.
Yeah, I think I just needed some. First of all, I love traveling. I love seeing new places, new cultures. This is what I love. It's my passion. And
you speak a few languages as well, so that probably helps.
Yeah, it does. It does. I speak five languages. So in the end, now I'm on the sixth because my girlfriend is Swedish. So yeah, it's something that I'm very interested in.
Six languages.
Yeah, fair play.
And I when you're a footballer, we've got loads of free time and everyone thinks like, oh, it's such a nice life. It is a nice life. But in the other hand, like you are kind of like whatever they tell you, you have to do. It's not like in a normal job. When you say like, you know what, I'm just take holidays a week. You can't do that as football. So kind of like I had the feeling I have to do this. I have to go away for a long time to just like, you know, don't think about football. Don't think about anything. I think I didn't watch a football game for like 6 months. Wow. Not a single one.
Wow.
And that never happened since I can think of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So it was kind of like, I felt free again. And then we traveled and then she got pregnant and then COVID, and then we had to come back, and and now we're back in Switzerland.
Nice. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. What's Almin Abdi up to now? Any plans to get back into football? What, you know, work wise, what are you doing now?
It's still open, very open. I mean, it's been a crazy year, I guess, so for everyone in the world. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. I could see him in football, but I didn't decide that yet. I could see me somewhere else. I have a few other things, a few other projects that I'm thinking of. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying my family and my son. Yeah, and this is like, the best gift you can have as a dad, to be off and to just be there for him every day. And this is what my job is, being dad at the moment.
That's good. That's the best job in the world, mate.
Exactly.
Best job in the world, that is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
It's been absolutely fabulous having you on. It's
thank you, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Brilliant. We're always really appreciative of anybody that will come on and talk to us. And you're definitely the most modern player, I'd say, that we've spoken to. We haven't spoken to many people, certainly from the more recent years. So it's been absolutely fantastic having you on. Carl and I always thank whoever comes on for playing for the team, for wearing the yellow and for giving it their all. And you definitely did that. You know, you were an amazing player. And thank you very much for joining us. It's been good.
No, thank you very much, guys. And good luck in the Premier League.
Thank you.
Thanks, Almin. You're always welcome back at Vicarage Road. I've got a space seat.
It's tough at the moment to travel to England.
I know. But best of luck with whatever you've got going on, and enjoy your family, mate. It's superb. Well done.
Thank you. Cheers. Have a nice day.
Thank
all
you,
the best,
Almin.
My friend.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.